This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out here as we are sounding off. What's up, Richie Ote?
What's happening? We need to get that sound.
Alright, Mary Goulet is off doing her thing in New York City. And we got White Wade holding it down in the studio over there. We got Kelly Polker holding it down back home. And Brad Costanzo, the one and only Brad Costanzo, is hanging out with us here from Bacon Wrapped Business. Been with us all day, man. Appreciate you hanging.
Yeah, you bet.
Absolutely good quality fun.
Way better than working for a living.
Well, speaking of working for a living, actually, that's what I wanted to talk about is two things. Number one, we got this whole thing going on with the back to school, right? So I didn't realize this, but we moved from Chicago a few years ago. I thought we started school before Labor Day, and that changed. But evidently, Chicago is still after Labor Day. So they actually just started school back home. My kids started school about a week ago, but it got me thinking about back to school. It got me thinking about jobs. It got me thinking about all kinds of things just related to the new economy and the future of our children. And then I saw an article about being a cashier at Costco.
Yeah.
Being a cashier at Costco.
It's not too bad, is it?
Well, interestingly enough, it's really not that bad.
What do you mean? You mean how much they make?
Well, how much they make.
Not only that, but they, if you're like recovering drug addict or something, like they'll hook up people that you wouldn't think. But keep going.
So how much do you think, if you had to guess, how much do you think annually, not hourly, just annually, if you had to throw a number on it, how much do you think the average cashier in Iowa makes at a Costco?
70.
I would think like 35. Like,
what do you think, Wade? You got a guess over there on that side?
Whatever.
Oh, the average
is.
You
45.
Said
45.
Yeah,
like 56K. 56K wow. On average for a cashier who works at Costco in Iowa.
What's that break down to an hour?
Let's see. Well, $20 an hour would be like $800 a week. So 50. So it's more than that, right? Because that would be 40K.
Yeah, I want to say they
so
make like 25.
Yeah, so there you go. So basically 24, 25 bucks an hour, somewhere in there. Plus benefits. You know you got killer benefits if you work for Costco. And you can go home with 600 rolls of toilet paper anytime you want. So how cool is that?
I mean, talk about the boxes you ever need.
All the cards. That would be the side hustle
right
there.
You know who doesn't have good benefits?
Everybody else.
Costanzo Marketing Group, LLC. My company has no benefits.
No benefits whatsoever. So, you know, it's interesting because what ends up happening is you can go to school, you can get a degree, you can do this, that, and the other, struggle to find a gig, and even like the teachers in Iowa make less money. The teachers in Iowa make less money than the average cashier at a Costco.
Wow.
Do you need a college degree to have, you know, the right to go bleep, 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 bleep?
Yeah, but that is definitely, it's got to be on the way out. I mean, with the automation of everything.
And, so that's the other side of the coin that I want to talk about. But yes, Wade, go ahead.
Well, yeah, definitely automation can change things. But it also proves out the truth of how much money there is in that business that they can afford without going out of business to actually pay their people that much. And you want to bet that you get awesome customer service at Costco from really happy employees. Mm-hmm. Out here in San Diego, think of the In-N-Out Burger experience compared to, say, other national chains.
Mm-hmm. It's much better than In-N-Out.
Yeah, because they're getting paid good money. They love their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because as you look at the kids right now, the kids that are in, well, I've got a fifth grader now and an eighth grader now, you look at what they're going to be doing from a career standpoint, and it really begs the question of, well, Jesus, what actually are they going to be doing, right? Because, okay, Costco, fine, you can be a cashier, but to Brad's point, how long is even that gig going to be available? Like, at what point here do we simply walk in, grab what we want, and we leave, and we get billed for it, right? I mean,
Amazon's doing that now. Have you heard about that with their store?
Yeah.
Stores?
But see, back in 1960s, popular mechanics.
So you were 30 in 1960s, right? Yes.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Minus
you're holding
decades.
Up well. Yes.
Yeah. But the point being, in the 1960s, they saw the future of automation and robotics.
Yeah.
And what they presumed was going to happen is we were going to get paid what we would consider our normal wage for a 20-hour work week. They just assumed that the worker was going to reap the benefits of automation with a lesser workload rather than us going, no, you got to work an 80-hour week. We're just not going to, you know, do whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that may still happen because we haven't fully realized the power of automation. I mean, I remember
and
AI for sure. I mean, I remember reading a book when I was in high school. So this is 84, 85, somewhere right in there. That was Future Trends, or I forget what it was called. But basically, they were talking about the driverless vehicle in that book, where they thought it would be more of a sensor situation where there would be sensors on the road that these cars would be reading. The point only being 30 years later, we're getting closer, right, to having driverless vehicles. Yes, Rich?
Well, I was just going to say, this is almost pulling all of our conversations today together. If you're a specific, if you deal with being super specific as opposed to the generalist like we were talking about, and the world changes, good luck, right? Mm-hmm. So back to the survival of the fittest thing. It's
careful what you specialize
in. And it's not necessarily the strongest, fastest, smartest. It's the most adaptable. Mm-hmm. So if you specialize in something, it better be where we're moving, right? And this is also why it's good to have general knowledge about a bunch of stuff so you don't get stuck.
I mean,
yeah, my dad
pivoting.
Was a super, super, super specific specialist. I mean, unbelievable at his gig. Unfortunately, it was a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one of all these to get disrupted.
Yeah. Although arguably it's come full circle because, like, for example, with my event, the New Media Summit coming up, like, we're printing left and right. Like, we need printing more now than ever.
Yeah, but
and we
you
need
can...
someone who can actually do a lot of the things that we need done. So, I don't know. It's interesting, right? I mean, you look at the plumber, right? You look at the air conditioning guy. You look at the, I mean, those sort of specialists. Are those jobs going anywhere? Can you automate out that work? Can you, you know, can you roboticize? Ooh, can you roboticize that work? I don't think so.
Right, but if you were a plumber that was generally good with a bunch of knowledge of the house.
Yes.
And you could start talking about a bunch of value add stuff, how to low irrigation lawns and all this stuff that had nothing to do with plumbing, but you were in front of all these homeowners, mm-hmm. you're going to get way more plumbing business.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, there's,
you know what I mean? It's six of one, half dozen the other two. Like, we really got to be well-rounded people, but your marketing needs to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, like I said, as the kids go back to school now, it just really kind of begs the question of, like, what are we actually teaching them? And what does the future hold for these kids? Are the jobs that we're preparing them for even going to be in existence with the rapid pace of the evolution of technology?
I think the key is if kids can learn to solve problems, period. If people can learn to use our critical skill, because that's the one thing that artificial intelligence, it's going to probably be the one of the very last things to do, is to really solve complex problems outside, like thinking really laterally. It's mm-hmm. something that we have evolved to really be adept at, is recognizing patterns, solving problems, thinking outside of the box. That's one of the things that, you know, it's going to be a little while before AI can do that. And if you can teach your children that, I think it's fantastic. One quick example was a student or a teacher who was teaching his students, going, hey, you know, one part of World War II, what happened in the Battle of Dunkirk versus, was World War II good or bad?
Yeah.
Discuss.
Yeah.
Like, critical thinking.
And if I can throw this in, 80-20 rule. Okay.
Yes.
AI can handle the 80. It's the 20 that you need to identify that's going to require the human element.
Yep.
And also, I'll just leave it with, teach your kids to communicate with people, because behind all those devices, all those ones and twos are people.
Yeah. All right, my friends, we're not going to solve it on this one, but it's definitely a good topic to be thinking about for sure. As the kids go back to school, prepare them accordingly. And for those who have been showing Reinvention Radio some love, thank you for that with your subscriptions on our podcast edition and, of course, for rating and reviewing the show. Remember, you can join us live every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific at reinventionradio.com. For Richie Ote and Brad Costanzo-White-Wade, I'm Steve Olsher. Talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com. One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you.
In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.